You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. So, it's September 2018. And I've had a long time to think about a lot of things. One of the things that I'd like to speak about today is the anointing. And not the anointing that falls on me so much, but the anointing that I have seen fall on people of God all through the history of mankind. I've studied it. I've studied great revivals. I've studied what we call great men of God who have great anointings. I've studied their doctrines and what they believe in. And I've gone to the Lord and I've said, so what is the answer to all of this stuff? And he said to me that you can have a massive anointing, but your theology can be rubbish. You can have a massive anointing and not be able to contain your life in holiness because you haven't dealt with the issues in your life. So I've seen these people with great anointings, crash and burn. Some of them have done really well. Some of them have been very holy and very honorable and very sanctified in their life, but they haven't been able to grab a hold of the promises of God. Some of them have been able to grab a hold of the promises of God and have very little anointing. Really, what we want is everything. We want the promises of God operating in our life. We want the anointing, and we want authentic theology, authentic word of God inside of us operating. We don't want to mix it with man's theology, with man's half-baked ideas. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they go after God, they look at the scriptures and they ascertain it, or they deliberate on it. And before it's been cooked inside of them, before it's been fully revealed, they come up with their own ideas. They don't wait on God to fill in all the gaps. And they come up with replacement theology, and then they start spitting that out on everybody else. So everybody else walks in this replacement theology. This truth and conjecture mixed together causes lots of trouble. And movements crash and burn because of that. Even Gamaliel in Acts, when Peter and John were caught by the Pharisees, and they had them up and they asked them questions and they beat them up. Gamaliel stood up and he said, you want to be careful. If this is of God, you'll be fighting against God. But if it's of man, it'll just fall over. So even Gamaliel, who wasn't spirit-filled, understood that this was a plan and purpose of God. If it's not of God, it won't work. If it's of God, it will continue on. And really, that wisdom works today. There's so many people who are out there preaching the gospel with a half a gospel, out there preaching the gospel with an anointing where they heal people right in front of people's eyes. But they don't have theology. There's people out there who are mixing. There's people out there who are talking about devils where they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, there's a man named Andrew Strawn. He's got this video out called The Kundalini Spirit. Well, someone who was fixated on the whole of this many, many years ago said to me, you need to look at this video. And I had a bit of a look at it, and it didn't really impress me much. I just thought, See, I'd been praying for about three years or so, for 5 hours a day. I never had any of that stuff happen to me. And I went to the Lord and I said, how do I separate this expression of spirituality as opposed to the real deal, the real authentic expression of the Holy Spirit? He said, you've been doing that. By building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, if any of this stuff comes into contact with you, I'll alert you because you'll be able to hear me and you'll have the power to stand against it. So I don't need to get some sort of Kundalini spirit device to check everybody to see if they got one. I understand who the Kundalini spirit is. I understand who it's actually a serpent demon. A lot of people who don't have a firm foundation on the Word of God will a lot of the time be caught up with mixtures of all different sorts, mixtures of theology, mixtures of spiritual expression, mixtures of anointing, all of this stuff, and it causes the water to be muddied. So a brother asked me only the other day, he said he'd never heard of the Kundalini spirit, and he's been praying for years and years and years. And my impression of this brother is he's very stable. He's sensible, but he doesn't understand what this Kundalini spirit is. And he said, what do I do about this? I said, don't worry about it. Keep praying in tongues, and if you be any thus minded, the Lord will, he will reveal it unto you. But it's when you're not full of God is when things go skew-whiff, when things go pear-shaped. When you're not, when you don't have the Word of God inside you. So what about the people hundreds of years ago, before 1611, who never had Bibles? They didn't have Bibles. You were super lucky if you even got to see a Bible. I mean, they cost oodles of money to actually produce because people had to write them down. And you just didn't have it. But, you know, God promised us in the Old Testament, he promised us that if we were filled with the Holy Spirit, he would lead us and guide us into all truth. If they got every Bible in the world right now and burnt it, if they got every video on Bible teachings and burnt them, if they got every clay tablet and smashed them, if they got every single fragment of Bible evidence, all the Old Testament, the New Testament, and they burnt them, totally obliterated them, I'd still walk in the Lord because I have the promise of the Holy Spirit. I have the end product. I have the completion of what everybody was talking about in the Old Testament. One day, you won't have to go to man, right? One day, there will come a time when you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will be taught by God himself. Unfortunately, people want to go back to other men and they want to learn from them the things that the Holy Spirit wants to personally teach them himself. And they mix the ideas. I was really lucky. I didn't read any books. I didn't watch videos of things. I didn't go and take my theology and my leading from men. I just sat down and prayed in tongues and got revelation from God himself. I drank at the fountainhead. I drank at the tap. I didn't drink at the end of the hose. I didn't drink at the mouth of the river where all the slop goes down. I drank at the source, the spring, where the water starts. I drank at the undefiled Word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And I got theology that wasn't mixed, tainted, dirtied up, muddied up in any way. And I was able to see clearly how things worked. So when I preach to people, I don't preach to them some form of replacement theology or some sort of theology with my own conjectures in there to fill in the gaps. I don't know everything. You know, I make jokes about the whole concept. I say, you know, I don't know everything. I only know nearly everything. It's just a joke. You know, I was speaking to these people and I said, you know, I was getting all these people filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said to me, you can't get people filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, of course not. But it's just the language that I used. And you need to be mature enough to be able to discern what I'm trying to talk about. I mean, I couldn't figure another way of expressing the statement. Well, I prayed for these people and I didn't fill them with the Holy Spirit. We know God fills them with the Holy Spirit, but I put my hands on them. You know, I mean, it's just the long way around. You know, these apologetics over and over again for people who have no understanding of the workings of the kingdom of God. It takes grace and mercy to be with them. When they're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's even worse. You know, unsaved people, I give them so much slack. Drug addicts, prostitutes, you know, homeless people, derelicts. I give them so much slack, so much, because they have no knowledge of God. But when I'm dealing with someone who's baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues and is speaking crazy stuff, sometimes wonder, where have they been? What have they been doing? How neglectful are they of their walk? Haven't they been searching the scriptures, or have they been spending all their time listening to the twisted ideas of man? You know, there's just so much rubbish out there. Why don't you just all go to the fountainhead? Why don't you dump all your own ideas and all of your twisted, half-baked theologies that have come from people who a lot of the time don't know what they're talking about, and just go to the one who knows what he's talking about, the Holy Spirit. You know, even in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, line upon line, here a little, there a little. No, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people, saying to them, this is the rest, this is the refreshing, where you may cause the weary to rest. But they won't do that. They want to go back to line upon line, here a little, there a little. They want to be spoon-fed so that they can have an easy walk. Well, the kingdom of God, you have to pursue it. You have to go after it, and then it will come to you. But if you think that you can get somebody to just spoon-feed you just doctrine and it's okay, you're going to get some really bad spiritual diseases. You're going to get dizziness. You're going to get tears because you haven't been looking. You know, the enemy has planted seeds, tares, which are, they look like wheat, and they've been planted in your heart while you haven't been looking, while you've been sleeping. And now you've got a mixture of lies and deception and truth living together. And the only way you're going to separate that is by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, I said before, if they got every Bible and tore it up and threw it in the bin, and we had no access to anything at all, zero, we have the Holy Spirit. And he has brought the encapsulated, the inspired Word. It's already inside you. You know, I'm not saying throw your Bibles away. I have many Bibles that I consult and I pour through over and over again. But what I'm trying to talk about is the principal thing, is that the Bible was written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then we read it. Well, don't you think it'd be really smart if you went to the one who inspired the men to write the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and let him teach you? You know, Paul wrote 13 or 14 books, if we count Hebrews. And he did that being inspired by the Holy Spirit. That wasn't his own theology. You know, he was well versed in the Old Testament. And he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, I praise God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He spoke that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul talks in Ephesians, Colossians. He talks in all of the books about the mysteries that were revealed unto him. And even Peter, he wrote, he said, some things our brother Paul speaks are hard to understand. And those who are unlearned or are weak in the scriptures, they wrestle the word unto their own destruction. They crash and burn because they don't have the substance inside them. They don't have the firm foundation which the Holy Spirit places inside them. Instead, their firm foundation is of man's theology and man's ideas. You know, Andrew Strawn, he talks about this Kundalini spirit. I've met Andrew Strawn. I sat through one of his teachings because I was invited by some other brothers. And we spent most of our time taking people outside and getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. People kept coming up to us while we're sitting down saying, "Can I have what Fred over there's got?" Okay, come on, we'll take him out, pray for him, bang, start speaking in tongues. They go back in, someone else comes up to us and says, "Can I have what Jenny got?" Well, and meanwhile, Andrew Strawn is speaking about all of the scriptures. He's speaking about Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 2, but not once did he call anybody down to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then to make it even worse, at the end of the night, I'm praying with some people. I'm praying with this girl, and she started manifesting. She fell on the ground, started manifesting. And I went over and I called a few saints over, and I said, "Listen, I need one who operates in the word of knowledge." And a young lady said, "Yes, I do. Come over here. Come and help us." I said, "I want you to ask the Lord about all the names of these demons." We work as a team. Anointed people working in a team. It's not a one-man band thing. And we're working hard on this girl. You know, 30 feet, 40 feet away was Andrew Strawn and a few other people. And they're just standing around talking. And I stopped the whole thing. I said, "Oi, would you guys like to come over and help us? Because we need a bit of help." They looked at us, just went back to talking. I really, really was not very impressed. You know, so... look, if you're going to teach this stuff, you're going to act like you're the man who knows about secret stuff, about demons, Kundalini spirit stuff. Be good to be able to demonstrate your knowledge. Come and help us. Instead, you know, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Think about it. The Bible says, "From such turn away." You know, you're going to talk about God, and if you're going to talk about demons, you're going to talk about healing, you want to be able to at least pray for somebody and get them healed. You want to at least be able to pray for somebody and kick demons out of them. Not just speak about it, not just do videos about it. You know, Paul, he called people out. He spoke about Peter. You know, and people say to me, "Tom, you shouldn't mention these people's names." You know, well, if they're not doing the right thing, then they need to be called out. Okay? Paul spoke about Peter, how that he ate with the Jews. He ate with the Gentiles. Then when the Jews came, he went back to the Jews. He said he wasn't walking uprightly. Peter had to, he had his name written down, that accusation. He said, "I spoke to his face." Called him out to his face. Yeah, and Paul could not have, he could have said, "Well, we'll just let this slide. We won't write it in a book or a letter or anything." No, it's lasted 2,000 years and people have heard, read about what Peter did. He was an apostle. I think we can do the same thing now today. The Bible says, "Those who minister among you, make them an example that other people would fear. No fear or favor." I think that's the way it should be with the Word of God. We only honor God, not man. You know, people get upset if you mention their name and are critical of them. Too bad. It's just pride. We're all servants of the Most High God. And we need to be honorable servants, not looking after our own self and our own dignity and our own name. And Paul said, we are the offscouring. We're the scum of the earth. Apostles have to suffer all of it. And there's a lot of false apostles around. So people are saying, "Tom, what if your name gets, what if you get called out one day?" Well, too bad. But I've got a plan. And my plan is, if I follow God completely and I stand naked before God all the time, he will cover me. That's the way it works. So I have no fear because my refuge is his mighty tower. And I stand before the Lord naked all the time. And I tell you what, my wife is really good at pointing my imperfections out so that I can go to the Lord and deal with them. That's a great thing that the Lord's given me, a discerning wife. You know, there's a guy named Rowan Eagles. You know, I was in the same church with him. And... You know, Rowan sent me this video or a YouTube link of Torben, and I looked at it and I went, "That's great! Praise the Lord! I mean, the guy's got an anointing." I've been praying for a couple of years, 5 hours a day, and then he sends me this, and to me it was like, "Well, I do this. This is great. Praise the Lord for him." But I do this. There's nothing he's gonna. And I praise the Lord for Torben. He's going forward. So then, you know, Rowan Eagles, he gets a hold of Torben and he starts showing him the gospel message. You know, so Torben walks on the street and starts praying for people, gets them filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's got people baptized and all this. That's great. But, you know, Rowan Eagles took him aside and expanded to him even greater knowledge of the scriptures. He went home and he started studying the scriptures, and now 2018, he's telling people that they need to repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and speak in tongues. And he's talking about the stuff that I learnt back in 1984, that I never thought anybody would ever catch up with, they would ever catch a hold of. I mean, I had Baptists telling me that it was of the devil. You know, I used to say to them, be careful about this. Now the Baptists are calling people down the front and they're, you know, some Baptist churches are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they used to go berserk about that. They'd say, no, that's rubbish. Now the Seventh-day Adventists, if you go and search the Seventh-day Adventists out about speaking in tongues, they're asking all of their people to go and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they're using Acts, but they don't understand it all. But they're in the infancy of understanding, and I praise the Lord they're going for that. But they used to all fight us on the street about this, arguments about speaking in tongues. But we stood our ground because we knew the truth. And now the world, or Christendom, part of the Christendom, is catching up. And I praise the Lord for that. But people are going through transitions of understanding. I met Torben 4 years ago personally. And I told him, he said, so what do you do? I say, well, I just pray in tongues. I get full of God and I lay my hands on people and the power of God comes over them. I told him I pray in tongues for hours and hours every day. And it did not even switch a light bulb on in him. He didn't even, nothing happened. There was no ding over his head. He just looked at me and said, oh, well, and then went on to the next person. And I thought, he doesn't know what's happening between me and the Lord. Because I know that when I say these things to other people, and if they've been with the Lord in that certain aspect, I mean, he's got an anointing. He's very powerful anointing. But, you know, a powerful anointing doesn't make you, it doesn't qualify you. You've got to have everything. You know, Paul said, I shun not to declare the full counsel of God to you. You've got to have personal relationship. You know, I speak to a lot of these people from Torbenland, and I say to them, listen, there's something I found that's even greater than going out on the street and preaching the gospel to people and seeing them healed. It's a personal relationship, a lovesick relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. It's called worshiping God in spirit and the truth. And God is a spirit, and he seeks such to worship him. You know, there's a lot of people going to stand before God and say, I went out on the street every day in the rain, and I got people filled with the Holy Spirit, and I baptized people. I laid hands on them, and they got up and walked out of the wheelchairs. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You know, really the key is, he never knew you. Not you never knew him. He never knew you. You didn't give him the chance to have a relationship. You're too busy doing the works. And now there's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're going to speak about that. We're going to do a great big fat teaching on that. It's a great revelation. You know, and the Lord gave me a revelation. He said, look, you're like a boat that's going down the river. And you're tearing along down the river. You're in the middle of the river. And you're causing a bit of wave. And there's people on the shoreline. And they're throwing their nets. Some people are bathing, trying to keep a little clean. You know, and they go up to their knees in the water. They don't go any further. Some people got little boats and they can only dwell on the edge of the river. They can't go out into the middle of the river. Some people have got their houses over the river. And, you know, they live on the river. And he said to me, he said, listen, all of those people are involved in the river. He said, not just you, just because you're in the middle of the river and you're going down on a boat and you're powering along and you may be causing waves that wash up on the shore and it may disrupt their harmonious river-dwelling life, but that's just the way it is. He said, but you need to count them. They're part of the whole mix. He said, just everybody who's in the middle of the river isn't mine, is those who dwell on the edge of the river as well. Hopefully, they'll get more revelation, more truth, and they'll come closer into the center of the river. Maybe they'll upgrade instead of walking around with their pants rolled up to past their knees and they're just swishing around in the water. They actually get a boat made. And maybe you'll upgrade them and they'll have some real power. You know, it flows really hard down the center of the river. You know, it's not a place for people who can't swim. You'll drown. You know, that's where the turbulence is in the middle of the river. That's where the most amount of flow is. And you shouldn't be in the middle of the river unless you've got the equipment that God gives you. But you pray that the Lord would open your eyes and that he would empower you so that you can go into that turbulent part and make greater waves. Well, that's the analogy the Lord showed me and I understood. So people who are in different areas of development and growth. We're all growing if we're looking to the Lord. And some of us are looking to the Lord more. Some the Lord is just happened to take little bits away from them because they're hanging on to them. All of this stuff, this rubbish, with both hands and they won't let go. And God has to slowly pry them from their hands, all of this junk. Some people with open hands look to the Lord and say, change me. They open their hands up and say, I'm not holding on to anything. I'm not concealing anything. Try my heart. Look into my heart and if you find anything that's contrary to you, burn it up. God loves those people. He could do so much with them. Yet mankind is continually duddered by people who teach other people lies and deceptions. Yeah, you know, one guy told me, he said, you know, God, he comes in and goes out, and he comes in and goes out. I said, that's rubbish, mate. God is 24/7 all over me, all the time. Am I special? No. I went to him with open hands and I said, please burn everything up. I'm not holding back any false ideas of you. I want you to take them and I want you to burn them up. God, he did that for me. I went to the Lord with an open heart. I didn't conceal things. I didn't hide little ideas and thoughts and cover them up and wrap them up and bury them so that I can look at them later and worship those ideas and dwell on those ideas. Now I stood naked before the Lord. And the Lord, he saw everything and he changed it. That's the problem with a lot of people. They want to go to the Lord and say, you can take anything from me bar this, this and this. This is untouchable. And the Lord says, he'll work with you. But you will dud yourself out big time of the opportunity of having an open relationship with God. And there's a lot of people, they do it really through fear and lack of understanding. So yeah, people like Andrew Strawn, I say to you, start praying in tongues, seek God. And, you know, don't start scaring people with this Kundalini spirit stuff. It's true. The Kundalini spirit is true. But, you know, if you're full of God, you don't need to be fearful. I meet these people, they're scared witless of the expression of the kingdom of God because they're frightened the Kundalini spirit might be part of it. So therefore, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. And they stand on nothing. Any expression of the kingdom of God in their life, they freak out and they shut it down because it could be something else. Well, what I say is, I'm full of God, bring it on. Bring it on, because if it's wrong, the Holy Spirit alerts me to it and I go to battle against it. If it's wrong, the Holy Spirit will show me how to battle against it. I don't need to fear things anymore. You know, I've really gotten, praise the Lord, I've got a great victory in the kingdom of God. I have no fear of darkness. I have no fear of the expression of darkness. May not like what they do, but I have no fear of it, because I know that Jesus overcame the world, and he has more power, and every knee in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth must bow to his name. And all I have to do is be full of God and stand on his name, and I overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, which is truth, which is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the revelation, the same revelation that Paul wrote. You know, Paul wrote these 14 books. Peter said, there's a lot of stuff I can't understand what Paul's talking about. But you know, if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will reveal all the things that were revealed to Paul. You may not have enough lifetime to get all the revelation you want, but it's a good idea to start now and keep going. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with unbelief. Have no fellowship with those who oppose themselves against the will of God. You know, I was speaking to a guy the other day, and he said to me, he spoke in tongues. And he said, I spoke in tongues, and I don't think it's much. I never got anything out of it. I looked at him and I thought, you poor thing. You know, this guy is speaking waffle. He's speaking rubbish. And you know, you need to be careful, because Jesus even said, if you start speaking things against the Holy Spirit, you may not be forgiven. You know, people are always making these philosophies, these conjecture scriptural ideas up about the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Some people say it's this, some people say it's that. Why don't we just go back to the original plan? What, you know, Jesus explained it. Do we need to add to it? I mean, he actually said to the Pharisees when he was healing people, he cast the devil out by the power of the devil. And he said, be careful. He said, you can say bad things about me, but don't say bad things about the Holy Spirit. You won't be forgiven in this life or the next. You need to be careful. Now, if you've been running around telling everybody that speaking in tongues is of the devil and that it's useless and it's a waste of time, and then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you, I don't know how you can actually do that. I don't know how anybody can be filled with the Holy Spirit and say speaking in tongues is a waste of time. That goes beyond. I'm going to have to pray to God about that. You know, these people speak damnable heresies. You know, there's heresies and damnable heresies. Heresies are something that, well, bad theology. But damnable heresies are something that destroys the body of Christ, that destroys people's growth in God. You start telling people that speaking in tongues is useless, something that builds them up on their most holy faith and keeps them in the love of God, something that gives to them revelation, that's damnable heresy. Damnable heresy. That means you are in a place where you have maybe damnation. Think about it. You know, we can make all these conjectures about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You could say, well, it's not doing everything that the Holy Spirit tells you. That's blaspheming. Well, every one of us is going to go to hell, because there's no one except for Jesus, not even Peter. Peter went and ate with the Jews, and Paul had to go and rebuke him. So Peter definitely went against the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we're all gone. I don't think it's that, okay? Or else we'll all be guilty. No, I think it's saying things about the work of the Holy Spirit without understanding. It's even worse when you've got the Holy Spirit. Even worse. You know, I would rather be... I don't hang around drug addicts and alcoholics and homeless people, but when I'm with them, their sins are so small and minuscule in the scheme of things, as opposed to spirit-filled people who are speaking rubbish. You know, those people, they don't make me squirm inside. Those people, the people of who are on the street, drug addicts, prostitutes, filthy, bad people, or tattoos all over their face and everything and all over their body, you know, and we won't go into all the detail. I have zero problem with them. My spirit does not get upset with them, because I know that they're in darkness, and if they could get the Holy Spirit, a lot of them would change. And the Holy Spirit does not make me feel angry at them. I don't feel angsty with them in any way whatsoever. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to hang around them, but I have compassion for them. But when I sit around saints who speak waffle, who lock up the kingdom of God because they've been taught rubbish, there's this thing inside me that gets stirred up so much. And I know how Jesus felt when he was in the temple and he tipped over the tables. And he said to the Pharisees, "It's my Father's house. You will not defile it." That really gets me. That really gets me. You know, there are saints who don't understand, and I've got no problem with them. But when they start locking up, when you start showing them the Word of God, start quoting the Word of God to them to set them free, and then they start locking up, man, oh man, do I start, stuff starts happening inside me. I have to hold it back. And all I want to do is get a mile away from them, because all I want to do is turn their tables over, because they're talking about the one that I love the most. They're talking about my Jesus and my Father, and they're destroying my Father's house. You know, they are the house of the living God. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in the first couple of chapters, he said, "Anybody who defiles the temple of God, him God will destroy." When you start defiling the temple of God in a man, when you start telling him that the stuff that is being expressed from him, that is of the Holy Spirit, could be sus, you start scaring people, start putting conflict in their heart, start causing them to second guess and not trust in the power of the living God and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you start putting doctrine in them that's going to cause their building to be wobbly and not stand, you falling into that part where the Bible says God will destroy those who break the temple of God, who ruin the temple of God. Because he's talking about, if you look at those scriptures, he's talking about, some say of Apollos, some say, you know, of whoever. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the ones that are going to build the temple inside you. And if you mix it with the building of other people's ideas and false theologies, you're in big trouble. Your temple, your house, will one day be tried by fire. So, you know, what sort of fire will that be? Well, it may be natural fire, but I think it'll be spiritual fire. You start praying in tongues, and spiritual fire will come and try all the rubbishy parts that have been built onto your house. And if you keep praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will burn it up. And if you have very little building left, that's your fault. And it will be declared by the Holy Spirit, by the light of the day. And we're children of the day. We don't walk by night. The enemy and his children walk by night. We walk with our eyes open, the eyes of our understanding opened. So we need to be very careful about who we're taught by. You know, Torben, he's got a great anointing. He probably needs to learn to bring cohesion to his body. And it's not about everybody joining together and going out and preaching the gospel. It's about everybody being full of the Holy Spirit. It's about everybody being established in the things of God. All the window dressing of going out and praying for people, seeing them getting healed, that's wonderful. But if you don't get them baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and then plugged into the Holy Spirit, they're going to fall. Their house is going to be built on a whole lot of junky stuff. And as Gamaliel said to the council. If it be of God, it will stand. If it isn't, it will fall. He talked about a guy who led a whole bunch of people out into the wilderness, and he said that all dissipated because it wasn't of God. There's been so many people who have started off on the right foot, but they haven't followed through with the important things. And that's getting an individual and plugging them into the power of the Holy Spirit first, getting all the stuff fixed up inside them first, so that they can go out and they can deal with everybody else's stuff. That is the original plan. It's never changed. And any religion or move of God, so-called, wants to circumvent that. You'll be the same as always. Your whole thing won't stand. Eventually it will fall. The people will lose heart and be scattered again over and over again. As they're scattered again over and over again. You know, we had a man named Clark Taylor. He was a Brisbane pastor. He had a massive anointing. I went and saw him. That guy was powerful. But you know, he got everybody, and he got them to just sell their houses up and do their stuff and go out into all the towns and just start up a work. And they did. But they all, a lot of them crashed and burned. A lot of them lived in great heartache, great poverty. They didn't understand about the supply of God. They didn't understand how to walk in the anointing. They preached the gospel, I suppose, and they saw Clark Taylor had a great anointing, but he never taught them. He never taught them the fundamentals. He just said, go out and preach the gospel. I've seen this so many times. You know, people say, go out and preach the gospel. And they go out ill-equipped in the power of God. And the enemy chews them up and they become worthless bodies that do nothing, that have the words but don't have anything else. And there's no long-term stability. And over and over and over again, these works pop up. They're like clouds without water. They look good, but they just don't bring the rain that replenishes the earth. So I say all of these people, look, there's hundreds of them. You know, John G. Lake, I mean, that guy walked in an anointing. Man, he was powerful. But you know, his natural life was pretty ordinary. I mean, his wife, you know, she died. There's nothing wrong with people dying. But, you know, apparently he was in poverty. His wife was in poverty. Apparently, I'm not sure, I can't guarantee, but she died of starvation. I don't know how that worked. But, you know, then there's Smith Wigglesworth. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, here's another great man of anointing. Great man of anointing. You know. But he didn't know how to pass it on. So, you know, he wore glasses. And his daughter, she had great hearing problems. People say, why didn't she get healed? Well, look, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He spoke about the Holy Spirit. But, you know, he didn't talk about praying in tongues for hours a lot. He didn't talk about building yourself up on your most holy faith. That was an essential theme. It was the love of God. He got lost in the love of God. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the Lord just took me aside. He said, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you about how the... He told me about the concept of the clock. He said, some people can read the time. Some people can wind the clock up when it's stopped. But not many people can repair it. Not many people can fix a broken clock. He said, that's what I've called you to do. I didn't quite understand. I sort of had an idea. And over the years, he supplied knowledge and understanding that I've spoken to people's lives. And they go, praise the Lord. People all the time are ringing me up and emailing me and texting me and telling me how that they're starting to pray in tongues and their lives starting to flow and everything's starting to come together and they're just over the moon over and over and over again. Some people have massive mountains they have to climb because of the massive ditch they're in. Sometimes their wives or their husbands are not wanting to be involved, but I say to them, keep praying. You're warfaring for your wife or your husband. Eventually, your wife or your husband won't be able to stand against what the work of the Holy Spirit is doing, and they'll come on board with you. But you have to be faithful. So they're faithful. I've had sisters pray for their husbands while their husbands were absolute drop kicks. And the next couple of weeks, the husbands turn on fire because they prayed over their pillow. They prayed from while they were asleep. The husbands, instead of having bad dreams from the devil, they got anointed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you, that's just funny. You know what? People ring me up all the time and they say, my husband and my wife, they're getting worse. I just say, keep praying. Seek God. I'll help you. We'll pray with you over the situation. But it's only that you're lighting a fire inside your husband or your wife through your prayers. And something's going to give. Usually the Lord wins, okay? So, look, all I want for people is to go to the fountainhead. I'm sick of all of the thousands of different versions of Christianity popping up all over the world. I hope that those people mature and that they go forward. I hope that they don't just be a flash in the pan. You know, I hope that they get what I've got. I hope they catch it. And you'll only be able to catch it by the Holy Spirit. It's not through books and 12-step plans and CDs and watching videos of everybody being healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. That may excite you. But do you know what really excites me? You know, seeing people healed is nice. But you know what really excites me? Being in the presence of God. That just rocks my boat big time. That's what I desire the most, is being in the presence of God. A lot of people don't understand that. But once they start entering in, they say to me, Tom, this is the place. I said, yep. This is the place I've been looking for. Yep. And I never even understood or knew it. I didn't know it existed this in this capacity. I say, yep. And they're over the moon. And then they start teaching other people. It's all about relationship with God and then waiting on your ministry, letting God cook what He wants you to do in the heavens by your prayer. Your prayer creates the fuel to cook or create this thing in the heavens. And then it gets manifested or displayed on this earth through you or through other people. But everything comes by prayer. You know, this brother I was speaking to the other day, he said, prayer's not all what's cracked up to be. And I looked at him and thought, you dumb person. You're saying that the kingdom of God, you're saying that prayer is useless in the kingdom of God? I can't believe what you said. He said, speaking in tongues is just a waste of time. And I went, how can I slap you and get away with it? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You know, the Lord, it's the Lord. The Lord will do whatever He needs to do with that brother. Anyway, all I can say is get full of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And any other demon expression will be chased away by the understanding that Jesus gives you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll have words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. You'll be able to tell the difference between Kundalini spirits and the Spirit of God. I had a guy say to me, he said, you know, you need to be careful, Tom, speaking in tongues. You don't know whether this guy's spirit-filled. He's telling me, you might not be speaking in the real tongue. He sort of alluded to that. You can come out right at it, but I knew what he was saying. I couldn't believe what he was saying. I was gobsmacked. I thought, how can you be so ignorant in the kingdom of God? Because you've been dwelling in men's wisdom, you need to come out from the unclean thing, be separate, like is spoken about in 2 Corinthians. Come away, come out from the unclean thing. And God will accept you as a father, and He will deal with you. You need to come out from the unclean teaching. You need to come out from the lies and the deceptions. You know, when I speak to people, they say, I feel aggro inside. And I go, I didn't say anything that was against your personality. I didn't say you were an idiot. I didn't say you were stupid and useless. All I said was, I just quoted the word of God to you, and now you feel aggro? And then they say, there's something wrong with you. I say, no. You know what the Bible says? The Spirit of God convicts men of their sins, whether they be in the body of Christ or out of the body of Christ. So I speak, and I may not speak personally or make attacks on their personality or their manners or their gestures or whatever. I might just speak generally about the scriptures, and they feel convicted. They're being convicted because they're not in alignment with the kingdom of God. And it's the word of God is convicting them. The Holy Spirit is convicting them of their sin, separating the light from the dark in their life. And they don't like it. And because they are people of not very much understanding, they think, well, the person who said that stuff, who quoted the scriptures to me, it must be him. And they don't realize they're that out of touch with the leading of the Holy Spirit. They don't even know where the rebuking is coming from. It's coming from God. That's what it's doing. So I go to people, I stand in front of them. I just stand in the midst of them and they say, I feel agitated. I didn't even say anything to them. I didn't poke any faces at them or nothing. All I did was just stand there. I even smiled. And they say, I feel agitated around you. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you of your sin. You know, I get around people and they start crying. And other people, they get offended. They get offended that the person's crying because of what I said. Because that person is being touched by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's saying to them, there's hope in these words. Don't let people steal this hope. Unfortunately, a lot of people are working for the enemy and not knowing about it. And they're trying to steal other saints' hopes. Don't listen to that guy. I think there's something wrong with him. Well, I think they don't understand the leading of the Lord. And if they speak words against me, if I'm expressing the expression of the kingdom of God, they need to be careful. Like Jesus said to the Pharisees, you need to have discerning of spirits enough to know where the flow's coming from, or else you're going to be on the wrong side of God. And that's not good. It's time for the body of Christ to grow up and to know where their juice comes from, to know where the flow of the Spirit comes from. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, let everybody understand. So Paul lays out a ground truth, a fundamental truth. He said, no man speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit can call Jesus a curse. That means whether they're speaking in tongues or speaking in English. You know, this brother said to me, you know, when you speak in tongues, do you know whether you're praising God or not? I said, oh, come on, go away. It's just beyond the joke. It's very sad, and it makes me angry inside. And I said to the Lord, why do I get angry? He said, it's me. He's getting angry inside. I said, Lord, well, how do I express that anger? Can I slap him? He says, no, pray for them. Oh, okay. You know, my natural man wants to slap him. Jesus, he sat down and he plaited a cord. And he turned over the tables and he whacked things. I don't know where he whacked people. You know, he was pretty violent. So I don't know. But look, all I can say is get full of God and allow God to flow through you authentically, and then you'll express the authentic, true kingdom of God. You know, I'm going to talk about it sometime in great detail about the wrath of God. The wrath of God came upon me for about 3 hours, maybe. God wanted to show me what his wrath that he's going to pour out on the earth. He showed it to me. It came inside of me, and I was so, it messed me up. I went to the Lord, I said, I haven't done anything wrong. And what is this? And he said, this is my wrath that I'm going to pour out. I want you to understand this is what I'm going to pour out on mankind who opposes my will. And this is going to drive them either far away from him or to him. This is his large ditch effort. And I tell you what, I never want to feel that wrath again. He did it so that I would understand when people are looking at me with absolute despair. And I could smile at them and say, if you come to Jesus, that'll go away. But at least I understand what they're expressing, what they're experiencing. And we'll talk about that. It was spiritual. It wasn't physical. I didn't feel any pain. I felt spiritual agony inside. I felt spiritual hatred and anger and very, very, very bad anger. And I couldn't get away from it. And the Bible says they'll try to get rocks to fall on their head on them and hide them from him who sits on the throne. And you know what? People are trying to die to get away from the wrath of God. Well, what's the wrath do? It's worse than death? I think so. The wrath of God is pretty bad. Pretty bad. And you know what? I can't wait for all of this stuff to happen so that we can get it on. So that we can get everybody on board. Instead of sitting on the fence, see, God has got a big plan. And the plan is to get everybody off the fence. To get everybody who halts between two decisions and to make a decision. Really, that is the bottom. That is the end game. That is the plan of God, is to get everybody off the fence so that everybody will make their decision whether they want to be with God or not, so that he can shut this whole section down and Jesus can come back and rule and reign. Still, we'll have our 1,000 years, and there still will be people who will oppose God. But we're talking about those who just will never, never, never follow God. He's going to separate the nations like he separates sheep from goats. There's going to be sheep nations and goat nations. I say, bring it on. It might hurt a lot of people inside, but it's going to save a lot of souls. And that's what we're all about. So we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.